My Father, we come to you again this day and thank you, first of all, for the privilege to be able to go about our daily tasks and come to the house of God on this Lord's Day, Lord, to worship you. And we pray that you, not only as you live in our heart, but you'd be in our midst, and we feel your presence already, and we look to you now from being blessed from the Word of God. Feed our soul that we may grow in grace and knowledge. This world will look dimmer, and what you offer to look brighter as we leave the house of God today. Encourage us, Lord. We look around us today and see so much discouragement. Even now, today, Christmas season, we'll be rejoicing. And the audience, no matter this church or any church, most of the time, have a doom and gloom look on their face. And, oh, Lord, we have something to be glad and rejoice about. And when we think about what you've done for us, let it bring joy to our heart. It will ride any circumstance we may be in this time of life. And we'll thank you and praise you for Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17. As I prayed in my prayer, we're living in a time now, I don't know, maybe it's the child in my heart years ago. It seemed like I saw more joy in Christmas as you approached it than we see today. I know the last couple of years have been kind of a time of gloom. I know that we've had a lot of discouragements, because when we're used to living at a certain level and suddenly that has changed to some degree, we cannot get or accumulate or even meet the requirements sometimes that we met before, we get very discouraged. And I think that we see in that going into this Christmas season. I think this morning, if I could see each one of your hearts, there's something somewhere or another that's discouraging to you, and that keeps a smile from being on your face. So as we approach Christmas season this month, I want to preach a message today about encouraging your mind. Encouraging your mind. I believe we need some encouragement. Now, thank God I'm encouraged to know that Jesus died for me. Amen. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I'm not worried about my eternity. But there are some everyday routines of things in life that we have to face that brings a worry sometimes, or if not a fret, or something that brings uneasiness in our life. And God has a method not only how to get saved, but how we can in turn have the joy that Jesus talked about even while he's hanging on the cross deep down in our side, which in turn, if we'll let it come to the surface, it will be seen even on the countenance of our lives. And so here I'd like to, let's begin with verse 22, and then we go into John 16, Romans 12, and Philippians 2, and then we'll go from there into the message. It may be a kind of a random way this morning, but it is leading to this topic, encouraging your mind. You know what? If your mind is not encouraged, you're not going to be encouraged anywhere else. That's the center point of you and I. If your mind, and by the way, Jesus taught us a lot of physical things happen to this body. They don't necessarily mean it's got to affect your mind. God has said right in the midst of the worst circumstance you can find, there's a joy that he gives that the world knows nothing about. And joy, many times, is a necessary element for us to feel good even when we feel bad. Though physically we may feel bad, in our heart we know there's a joy because we know everything's all right in the house of God. As one person told me this past week, there's no way I can lose. If I'm sick and get well, I win. If I'm sick and die, I win. I can't lose. Amen. And I believe that. And that's the joy that God is talking about for you and I have in this world, where in turn the world does not have. Here in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, Solomon said, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine. A merry heart doeth good like medicine." Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know about you. I thank God the age we're living in for the medicine we have. For pain and for sickness, for anything else. I thank God for that. He says, "A merry heart doeth good like medicine." But in contrast to that, "But a broken spirit drieth the bones." Now look with me in John chapter 16. And let's read down about verse 33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Now, it's interesting. He didn't say, if you're in the world, you're going to have tribulation, or you might have tribulation. He said, hey, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Where are you at, folks? We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. There is tribulation. There is troubles and trials and things that we have to face in this world. And if you're saved, Satan's going to see to it you get a double dose of that. Because he couldn't keep you from getting saved, so he's trying his best to keep you from living a life that would be pleasing to God. And so Jesus said, these same I spoke to you that you might have peace. We know that's talking about his peace. He says he'd give that to us in another place in the Gospel of John. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Now I think that falls in line what I see in Proverbs, a merry heart does good like a medicine. If I can be of good cheer, I'm going to have a merry heart. And these two are along the same line, one in Hebrew, one in Greek. And if I'm going to have if I'm be of good cheer, and he says, how can I know I can be of good cheer? Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Now, you've heard me say 100 times probably in the last number of years, amazes me that Jesus spoke this in past tense. He didn't go into Calvary yet. But he says, I have overcome the world. We know that his death, burial, and resurrection is the act of where he overcame the world, but he spoke in past tense. It says to me, since he's in the now, whatever he said, present, past, future, doesn't make no difference. It's always right. It's always going to happen. So this is something I can trust in my life and know for sure that Jesus said it. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now look with me in Romans, if you will, chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul is speaking here about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. He said in verse 2, and be ye not conformed to this world. Isn't that interesting? That's first before he said be transformed. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Notice, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, if I may look at a merry heart doth good like medicine, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world, Jesus said. And here the Apostle Paul is telling us, be not conformed to this world. This world doesn't have anything to offer us in the sense to bring joy. It might bring a little happiness, but that can be gone as quick as it comes. There's times, there's happy times in this world. We have a little more, get a little something, buy something we want. We'd be happy, but it can go, come and go as quick, it can go as quick as it come. I'll put it that way. On the other hand, joy is something that's settled. And here, Paul teaches us, be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Isn't it interesting? And then I would look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, and I believe the reason for that particular transformation is because of what the Lord says here. He says in verse 5, well, Paul says to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. How do you get that? From this book. You'll not have it without this book. God doesn't come down to you and give you a dream about something and tell you what to do. He tells you out of this book. We don't live in the days of Joseph for the Old Testament. We live in the days of grace when we have the completed Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit living in us who have been born into the family of God. And the Holy Spirit is teaching us the things that we need to know. So if I put these verses together for just a little bit of understanding, renew your mind to have good cheer. Renew your mind, that mind, to have good cheer. That leads to a merry heart. And it's due to a Christ-like mind. Put that together as the Holy Spirit puts it together. And when you face circumstances in life, you're going to have joy. You're going to rejoice. I don't care if you on the mountainside where it's easy or in the valley or in the dungeon like Paul. Amen. You're going to be able to rejoice in a way you don't know anything about until you get to that particular place. Therefore, God's Word is true. Simple as that. The word cheerful means a courage mind full of confidence. A courage mind that's full of confidence. In John 16:33, when Jesus said, be of good cheer. That is, have a courage mind full of confidence. Full of confidence that what God has said is so, and circumstances cannot change that. When we do not have, that sets forth a well mind in Romans 12:2. Renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so when we don't have a cheerful attitude, we do not have a well mind at that moment. But we do have what Solomon said, a broken spirit. It's either a broken spirit or it's a well mind. I thought about the years ago when I was in service, and I read, you heard this before maybe. If not, you need to hear it. If you have heard it, it'd be good to hear it again. This guy's in service, and he went out first time on the firing range, 100 yards in prone position. He was firing to get hit past on using his weapon. And he fired through it. And when he got through it, they gave the scorecard and he looked at it. And he was a PFC, and he said to his sergeant, He said to the sergeant, he said, what a score. He said, I'm going to tell you, I feel like shooting myself after seeing this card and this score. And the sergeant took a look at it. He said, son, if you do, you better take more than one bullet. I tell you that. Amen. Well, when it comes to encouraging your mind, it takes more sometimes than just one verse or two verses. But when you can put things together by the Holy Spirit helping you, it will encourage your mind, in turn, which will encourage your life. I believe God wants us to be happy in His way. Now, let me say that. You hear people say, well, God wants you to be happy. And they do anything they want to do. You're miserable if you try to be happy out of God's way. It won't ever work out. But I believe God wants us to be happy in His way. Not the fulfilling of the flesh, Galatians 5:16 said. That doesn't bring happiness permanently. I believe there's a joy before happiness for permanently, to be permanently. But on the other hand, if it satisfies the flesh, sooner or later, and quickly, you're going to be dissatisfied. For anything the flesh is fulfilled of is something in turn, if you're not careful, will counteract what God wants us to do or say. God's word never suggests that there is merit in gloom. Even though there's many times there are gloom set forth in the scriptures, it never set forth that there's merit in gloom. God's word urges the need of repentance. God's word urges, it calls upon people to grieve for their sins. God's word rebukes the laughter of fools. In Proverbs 14:9, the Bible says, fools make a mock of sin. In verse 8, he said, but the folly of fools is deceit. So when you talk about the fact that laughing at something that's ungodly, that's foolish. But on the other hand, the heart being merry, there are some times you need to laugh, folks. You need to laugh because laughter is just like what he says about medicine when it comes to our lives and before God Almighty. It does, the scripture itself, it does not commend sorrow on its own account. No. It brings joy and encouragement, though, to those who obey. The greatest thing in this world for happiness and joy, especially joy and happiness probably in that line, is just simply to obey God. I don't know. There's something about it. I was talking to a brother here recently. He said, you know, I'm so glad I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus years ago, and I'm so glad through the years now I've served Him. And now as I get older and the full-time service can't do as much, and I said, brother, I identify with you exactly what you're saying. The older I get, the more I'm so glad. I thought in those early years maybe it could have done something a little different way. But the older I get, the more glad I am. Gladder I am that I let God have my life early in life and give Him the best of my life. So when I get older and can't do what I can do when I was younger, at least I'll be able to do something, not worry about, though, at the end of life, hadn't done nothing for the Lord much. Now unravel that a little bit, amen? And you'll see what I'm talking about. Again, it brings joy and encouragement to those who believe. We have Christ's joy. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ, or at least we have the ability to have the mind of Christ as we look in God's Word. God loves His children, and He delights in their happiness. Cheerful Christians are strong Christians. Cheerful, happy Christians are strong Christians. Nehemiah says in chapter 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. By the way, that's just as true as John 3:16. Notice, not our joy, not our happiness per se that we muster up for the flesh, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. So no matter what you face in life, the joy of the Lord can give you strength in this life as you face things in life. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, it is easier to bear disappointment when our spirit is free in Christ and sin is confessed than it's when sin is not confessed? Did you know that? If not, you need to write it down because it's certainly true. Did you know that temptation is less powerful against a contented soul than against one who's fretful due to sin? Did you know also a cheerful view produces a healthy view of truth? Psalms chapter 40 and verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O God, thy will, O my God. David said that. I delight to do thy will, O my God. When we can say this and mean this, we have reached the true foundation of a cheerful spirit, no matter what we face in life. Now, some people think it's irreverent to laugh in church. That's foolish. Now, it's wrong to laugh at wrong things. God pity a person who can go somewhere and laugh when they cuss and use God's name in vain and tell things that are filthy jokes and so forth. That's not what God's talking about. But there's nothing in this world that keeps us that God has said that we can't have humor sometimes when it comes to our lives. I mean, some people say, again, I don't think you'll laugh in church. Then I ask, well, why? Well, they say the Lord lives here. Now, wait a minute, folks. That's kind of like saying, you know, we go by church on Sunday to see how God's getting along. Because that's where he lives at. When I leave, I have to go back to church to see him again. It's kind of like some people worship at church, you know, and say, well, in the house of God, I've got to live right, but live like the devil the rest of the week. I've got news for you. This right here is not the temple of God. This right here is the temple of God. Now, God set up the church for us to come collected together to worship him. And I'm glad for that because we need that collective worship together in an atmosphere that we can come and honor God. And the world see the church collectively come together to worship him. But wait a minute. I don't just come to church to worship God only on Sunday or Sunday morning, Sunday night. I can worship anywhere I want to because this is the temple of God. And I must understand that, and that'll help me understand some other things. Again, first of all, God does not live in a building today. He lives in his people's heart. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, for ye are the temple, watch this, ye are the temple of the living God. That's what Paul said. You're the temple of the living God, not some false thing in person's mind on totem pole, but of the living God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20 also tells us we're bought with a price, therefore we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if we met in a downtown parking lot this morning, we could worship God as a Bible believers because here's where God lives in the temple. And we can come together and worship him. Now, glad, I thank the Lord that the early church, he set forth, there is places locally where you have assemblies where people you might migrate together with the same like faith and beliefs and so forth and worship God together. It's very important. In fact, the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of yourself together in the book of Hebrews. But when we leave this place, God's here because it's omnipresent. But here's the temple. He goes with us wherever we go. And by the way, he knows as much what I'm going to do tomorrow as he did what I'm doing in church today. He's with me wherever I go. And if you're born again, if you're saved, so is he with you. That is a Bible truth. And so it doesn't make any difference you're downtown in a parking lot or in a dungeon. No wonder Paul could have almost revival in jail because he understood that the Lord lived in him. Now, Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine. And, you know, some people know things they don't say. That's one of the things I read about Hitler. Hitler had this idea that through natural selection, he could create a supreme race. If he'd get the top genetic people in the country, men and women, bring them together and have children that have a genetic purified race to some degree. And so they said in Germany, they had one place they actually experimented was they had two orphanage homes. And so they had 50 children in one and 50 children in the other. And the idea was that one was a cheerful, happy, funful place, an atmosphere, a joy of atmosphere, and the other was a stern, no love, no cheer, no fun, no laughter, no nothing, except they existed. And they said, according to the year-end report, in just 1 year or a little over that, the one that was happy with the atmosphere of happiness, they said they almost grow 2 inches taller and said that several pounds heavier than those who are in a poor atmosphere. And I thought about it. That's why I like a little humor. It does something to you. It may affect your appetite. I know one thing, worrying will kill you if you worry long enough. It will destroy you if you worry. It'll cause all kinds of chemical changes in your body. A cheerful counsel anywhere. Hear me. A cheerful counsel anywhere, ladies and gentlemen, is better than none at all. None at all. Sometimes people ask, preacher, you ever feel sad? Sure I do. I get down once in a while. I'll tell you this, but I'm happier more than I'm down. And God gives joy. You know what really brings a sadness to my heart sometimes and makes me wonder until I can get back in frame of mind? Satan sees to it that when I hear anything negative that's about me and my family, I get down for about an hour or two. And I get below the Lord and wonder why. Wonder why. But hey, I'm amazed. If there's anything of encouraging yourself in the Lord, I'm not as good as David was, but I thank God I've learned a lot that I can be encouraged in the Lord in the worst time of circumstance. And by the way, if someone said something negative about me, Satan sees to it, I hear it. He wants me to hear it. He wants me, by the way, same about you. You don't tell me nothing to grapevine for it's over with. I don't care what is here to get it back to you if he can do it, because he realizes that negative makes us have a low rather than a high. And you're going to have to learn, like all of us, that we're going to have to literally get above that. I never get the, what they call the blue sick blues. I sing it once in a while, but I don't get it. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I mean, if you come back years ago, when I say I sing it, I remember those days. But when I sing it, I don't sing it because I've got it. I sing it because I just like the song. Amen. See, I came back in the 40s. It wasn't quite as bad as the rap stuff you hear today. Amen. Maybe it was for that day, but anyhow, somebody go out and say, boy, the preacher's gone off the hill now. He's singing blues songs. Well, Pastor of Baptist Church, and you might sing one once in a while too. Hey, amen. Amen. Disappointment leads to encouragement. Listen to me. I found out that disappointment leads to discouragement. And discouragement leads to depression. And depression, if it's not checked, can lead to disqualification, because when you're depressed and it's not checked, you will do some foolish things. Because at that moment, we're not thinking exactly right. I think about David over in 1 Samuel chapter 30. David had been down. The story goes quickly. If you read that later, David himself had been running from Saul. He joined up with the Philistines for protection, a place to stay. They put him in a place called Ziklag. While he was on a skirmish with the Philistines, the Amalekites came into Ziklag and took everything he had, burned everything that was there if they could, and any wealth they took, it took their families, took their wives, took their children. They let them live according to the scriptures. They burnt the city with fire, and their wives and so forth they took with them. And when they got there, the men came back. They were so distressed that the scripture is very plain about this in verse 4. He said, they lifted up their voice and wept until there was no power to weep. They wept so much they could not bring tears to their eyes. That's the distress that they were in. And distress began to move, and David was greatly distressed for the people. Now it's interesting, David was distressed because his wives and his children and his stuff was gone too. He was like the other men with him. He was distressed like they were. But wait a minute, David got a double distress, because the scripture says at this time, and when David was distressed, for the people spanked a stone in him. The men talked about stoning David. Not only was he distressed, but he lost the same thing they did. Now he's distressed because the very men who were fighting with him wanted to stone him. And he said, because the souls of the people were grieved. And David, God's word said the reason they were distressed and sentenced David is because their souls were grieved. They had wept at where they could weep no more. It was a sad time for them at this particular. Not only were they running for Saul, but now they've been what they had in where they thought it was. They were in a protected area. They found themselves now lost everything they had as far as except their lives at this particular moment. And it said, they spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. We didn't understand that. You'd be the same way if you caught in a predicament like that. They were grieved for their family and things. And the only thing they could see that if they hadn't been with David, it wouldn't have happened, they said. But David lost the same thing. So he was grieved over his family, and because these people sought to stone him. And so David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There may come a time you have no one to get encouragement from but God. And you need to understand how it works under those circumstances. And so David literally encouraged himself in the Lord. I heard a story about years ago in Terrell, Texas. In a place they had there is equivalent to what Dix Hill is in North Carolina. Now years ago, I remember you wanted to really insult somebody. You say, you belong to Dix Hill. That was an insulting way of getting something across at that time. Well, this is a place in Texas this way. And there was a young fellow there in that was in that asylum. And he thought he was George W. Truett, who was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Texas. And so one day a friend and a preacher went to visit someone in this particular area. It was on a Sunday, and he got there. He saw this one man. He had a group of people together, and he was preaching to them. And he was preaching, I mean, just rejoicing, shouting, having the best time in this world. And this person turned to the preacher and said, you know, I feel sorry for that person, don't you, preacher? And the preacher said, why, no. He said, well, why would you say that? He said, look, this man is the happiest man in here. I mean, look, he's preaching his heart out, and he don't have to worry about a church. He don't have to worry about a meeting. He don't have to worry to discuss a project with anyone. He don't have to worry about a budget. He don't have to worry about deacons. He don't have to worry about anybody criticizing him. He's the happiest man here. That's the way we want to be. You know that? We want to be the happiest person in the family of God, if the joy is what it should be. Proverbs 17:22 said, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Now, some people, not all, have stomach problems, high blood pressure, nervous breakdowns, because they do not have a merry spirit nor a cheerful countenance. And then some of us have it when we do have. But maybe it would be worser. One thing I'm sure of, if you're okay now and you're less than 50, just hang on. If God lets you be to be 60 or more, you will have some problems. Sometimes a person says, well, I'm 80 years old, never had any problems. Well, you better praise God for it. And then you're talking to them not long. They did have a few down the road, you know, like that. They have these things, but they're not happy physically. Sometimes the people ask the question to Barbara and I, and especially to me, and they say, do your wife ever have any quarrels? And I say, no, we don't have arguments. You have to have an argument to have a quarrel. So we don't have quarrels. We have spats. And what's the difference, preacher? By the way, sometimes a person says, yeah, I've been married 36 years, never had a quarrel. Well, you don't have a tongue then because you bit it off. I guarantee you that. Now, spats. And the other reason for that is, I years ago looked up the word spat. And the word spat simply means a quick dispute. It's like a slap, except we don't slap each other. But it's like a dispute, quick dispute. It's like a, and it's over with. You can have a spat and 30 seconds later be laughing, joking. And that's the way it ought to be. You can't have two people living together opposite of each other without having some problems on the way. You say, well, preacher, not that way here. Well, somebody is not saying anything. Because there are no two people alike in this world. And so, thank God for harmony. And Barbara and I are real. I got to watch what I say here because she's in here. Isn't she? But what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, God brings joy. God brings joy. And don't think you won't have a spat. You don't think a lot. I mean, red may not be red to one person. You don't think a lot. And when you have a situation that's a disagreement, then there can be a spat. But it ought to be quick. It ought to last a few seconds. And that's where joy comes in. I know this, and I believe Barbara bear this out, and I don't know nobody else but she and I, we have more joy than we have spat. So you know, you say, well, he thinks he's living perfect. You know better than that. I'm telling you our life. And by the way, if you'd be honest, you'd say, you know, I'd love to be there, or I'm trying to get there, or maybe I have got there. If not, I'm trying to get there. Because you're not going to live under the same roof and personality without disagreements, whatever you may call it. And so again, be of good cheer, though. Cheer in Greek means the same as merry in the Hebrew. I'm not going to be around negative people long enough if I can help it, because I get enough negativism just living in this world. I'm talking about encouraging your mind. Be determined. I'm not a Norman Vincent Peale person, but I'll tell you this. Positive thinking can help you when you encourage your mind. Let me give you three quick points, and that'll be it. We'll go. I got 5 minutes to do it in. First of all, have you ever had your sins forgiven? Now, hear me. That's where it starts at. If you go to Matthew chapter 9, you'll find when Jesus was going back to Capernaum's home place, he came to his own city, said, and behold, there was a palsy man brought to him. Got to hurry because of the sake of time. And Jesus saw him. He said, son, be of good cheer. Why? Thy sins are forgiven thee. If no other reason, you and I ought to be to have good cheers because our sins are forgiven us. Amen. And that's what Jesus told this man to do in his particular day. Thank God, as we see these events, it's God that shows us. Romans chapter 4, verse 8, he said, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. I love that. Blessed means happiness and content. Be happy and content for the Lord. He says the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed the man, the Lord will not impute sin. Ladies and gentlemen, impute sin means to account to his account. Because the blood of Christ has cleansed him. Here God cancels sin and wills it out of existence. Forgiven and forgotten. That's what he's done for us. Sometimes we think about, you go out tonight, if you can see the star Sirius, you look up and say, there's the star Sirius, look at it. Look at the light. Did you know the light that you see from here is not the light that's shining at that time? Did you know that light is probably some 7+ or number of years older than the light at Sirius? That blows your mind, doesn't it? Oh, preacher, I see it. I know it, but it took many years for you to see it. And I guarantee you, if God would cut it off at Sirius right now, it still shine for a number of years until the light completely gave out. Why? Because of the distance the light travels. You're looking at years old light when we look at the stars. That's the reason God is so confusing to us, because he's so much beyond us, we can't even grasp that. Now what I'm saying, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, when God forgives sin, it don't linger on 4 or 5 years later. It's then and then only, and it's forgotten. That's what the blood of Christ can do. You and I, like a starlight, may cut on and say, will you forgive me for this? Yeah, I'll forgive you. But you can't forget it. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you. If you can't forget it, it's hard to forgive it completely. It lingers on and on and on. God not only forgives, he forgets. Praise his holy name. And that's one of the things about it is, commit a gross sin. And you may be tried in this land in the law, and the law may punish you. May have to serve a number of years to pay for that penalty. But if you come to God and ask for his forgiveness right then, if it's from the heart and truly forgiveness, then he forgets it at that particular moment. How does it work? Let's suppose Brother Walter and I would approach the light down here in 70, a bypass at the end of Main Street. We approach at the same time, and it's red. Now, we're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. He's in a hurry. Something awful's happened. And by the time we see it green, by the time we get to red, and that's the way it does. It always gets red. When I'm facing it, it'd be green for 100 people, and I'd be the 101 person, it'd be red when I get there. And say, I am not saved, and he's saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this with all my heart. Say, I'm not saved. And in the frustration of a moment, like all of us have at times, we're worried over something, got to be a certain place, maybe there's been a tragedy, and we get there, and suddenly we both say the same ugly word. I won't say what it is, but there's a word that should not be said by a Christian. Now, I'm unsaved, he's saved. But we use the same word. The difference is that if you go to Revelation, in 20 verse 12, mine goes in a book, or books that I've been accumulating because I'm not saved. His sin is forgiven because it imputed to Christ. Now, I must understand that. His position is different than mine before the Lord. You see, I mean, mine goes into a book, his sin imputed to Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses him from sin. Now, the child of God is responsible. It's not that he's not responsible, because he is responsible. But the blood of Christ cleanses from sin. And he teaches to beware of our sins and so forth. And he teaches that we're to beware of our sins, and the sins will find you out. He may have to suffer in the flesh at times for something. But I'll tell you this. He will confess it because it feels bad to be out of fellowship with God. He can be in position of a state as a child, but like a parent and a child been out of fellowship. And if he's out of fellowship with God, he's going to make it right. I don't even have a standing with God if I'm not saved. So it don't make a bit of difference to me. I feel good because all of a sudden I use some way to express myself. But he's saved. He can't feel like I do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in him. And I'll tell you this, once you do it a few times, you won't do it no more. Because the fellowship that's broken with God as a child of God is an awesome place to be when you want God's favor, who's your Father. Same way in a family. Children have break fellowship with parents if there's been love in that family at all. You can't wait till you get that fellowship restored. You see, the standing is one thing. His record is clean as far as his standing is concerned. If I understand Romans 4:8, when he talks about that he is imputed, it's imputed to Christ. Now, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. The only way I can get my sins paid for is trust Christ like he did. Thank God I did that, September 27, 1959. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Now, another case where Jesus sent some men out, 70, to preach the kingdom. And he said, when they came back, they rejoiced. That meant the word means to jump up and down and clip their heels together. Why do they do this? He said, they began to talk about, Lord, we did this. We cast out demons. Boy, look at what we did. All those things of power behind it. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because you have the power over unclean spirits. But rejoice because your names is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Isn't that amazing? You mean, preacher, wherever I'm at, I can rejoice? Yes, because my name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life with the blood of Jesus Christ. You can rejoice anywhere, anytime, any place because of that if it's there. Amen. But if it's not there, there's no rejoicing in it, you see, at all. And I thought about, as people talk about putting your name in, putting it out. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if God put our names in the Book of Life and then erase it every time we disobey Him, it'd be a messy book. Listen to me. It don't even make sense. God does something right. So I say, well, if that be the case, I'll live like I want to live. No, you won't if you're saved. You'll feel the pressure of your Heavenly Father saying the fellowship's not here. You'll go to God and pray and think the wall, ceiling is brass. You'll come sometime and wonder where He's at because He's getting our attention. Let us know that He's still our Father. It's not like it was before we trusted Christ as our personal Savior. Again, a flood came some 6,000 years. Brother Pharaoh has done a great job on that this morning. Noah's family got in the ark. And they were safe while the storm raged on the outside. Why were they safe? Because they were in the ark. Can you imagine that if Noah did like some people think he did? Say that Noah built the ark and got inside and he drove 8 stakes up around the wall and he said, all right, family, come on in. Come on in, Ham, wife, Jeff, Shem, and Japheth. Grab hold of a peg and hold on. Amen. We're going in a storm. He didn't say that. Get in here. Bless God. We're going to hold out faithful to the end. That's not what they had to do. They just had to get in the ark. The ark was for safety, was that? Did you know that? Praise God. Inside that ark, you're safe. I'm going to say something. Inside that ark, you don't have to worry. You may worry, but you don't have to. It's safe. And Jesus is our ark of safety. This out of eternity and in throughout eternity. How to have a heart. Have your sins forgiven. Number 2, how to have a happy heart or be encouraged your mind is do what Jesus said, we can be of good cheer. Don't be afraid of the storm when Christ is present. He makes the difference. There's many in here the times you felt the comfort of God in storms. It didn't turn out like you wanted it to, but you know God's comfort was there in the midst of that storm. The darkest day, hear me, the darkest day that a real committed Christian ever spends is brighter than the brightest day an unsaved person lives. Because of who we're serving. God's people can have more real joy at a funeral than the unsaved can in this world. How can you have an encouraged mind? Have your sins forgiven? Take God's word. Be of good courage, cheer. He's overcome the world. Number 3, John 16:33, where he said, I have overcome the world. We can have victory. John 5:4-5 teaches us victory is in Him. We've overcome the world because of Him. So he encourages, don't be afraid of this old world. Rejoice, be merry, be happy, be cheerful in Christ. Why? Because our sins are forgiven. Terrible situation I face, but my sins have been forgiven. I can have be of cheer and a courage mind because God says He's overcome the world. Whatever I face, God says He's overcome the world. What's the worst thing we can face? The Bible said, 1 Corinthians, our last enemy is death. It hurts us more than anything else in this world when a loved one dies. You just admit it. If you've not had someone close to you die, there will happen if God lets you live long, and it will hurt you. What a joy it is when that time comes and your heart's broken and you're weeping, and deep down inside you hear the small voice of God from His words that said, "Be of good cheer, my child, I have already overcome." You know what it means? You're going to see Him again one day. You know what it means? It means that's not the end. That's really the beginning for the child of God. More so, getting saved is the beginning, but that is the real beginning when we face the other side. Again, in Christ our sins forgiven. Christ is in with us in the storms. And we know that our names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. This will cause you to have a merry heart, and it will do good like medicine, renewing your mind to have good cheer in your heart, which leads to a merry heart due to Christ-like mind, which God gives us through His precious Word. And the Scripture says, rejoice! Rejoice! Because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Jesus said. And I say to you here this day, and anyone listen to my radio in a few minutes, rejoice! If your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it can be. You're not left out unless you decide you don't want to get in. And that's down to earth where we live at. Well, preacher, I'd like to get in, but not now. You just decided you don't want to get in. Don't you put no timetable on it. Today is the salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day God says we have no promise of tomorrow. Prepare to meet God today, He said to Israel. And God has said, don't go procrastinating and putting it off, because you don't have a promise of another day. Right now is the time. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it can be right now. Well, don't start putting clauses to it right now. Just believe what God says. Everyone in here who names the name of Christ did just that. They may have procrastinated a few times, but it came a time that they literally had to say, now's the time, and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when that happens, your sins are forgiven. So whatever you face in life, now hard it may be, you can hear the voice of God who forgave your sin through His Son. And the Son said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the study of this. I pray You bless the words today, not be just mere words of men speaking. Somehow or another, the Holy Spirit of God that lives in our hearts would bring the realization of what we have, renew it to our mind, what we have in Christ. And then for someone who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, dear God, I pray there'd be enough conviction and the gospel of Christ to let them see how important it is to know Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, and when that happens, more than likely, there's going to be havoc in their lives, in their home, in a lot of places. For Satan is, Lord, he's not lovable. He's not interested in building. He's interested in destroying. And every one of us who've been saved, He fought us not to get saved. And then when we got saved, now He fights us not to serve the Lord. So there's someone listening today, they'll be listening, and they know they should, but they don't. And the reason for it, Satan gives them some reason to put it off, and put it off, and put it off, and then it's too late. Honor Yourself today, Father. Thank You for the songs that have been sung. Thank You for these people being so patiently listening. Honor Yourself today. Help some Christian who's discouraged, the Lord, not to get no further than that, get depressed, and then all of a sudden do something foolish that would disqualify them as a child of God. Not before God if they're saved, but before the world. The world sees our deeds, sees our life, and they measure us in the Christian life by what they see. Thank God that God measures us by what He sees in the blood of Christ and what He's done for us. Lord, how can we ever thank You enough for what You've done for us? Please see in our heart when we say thank You, we mean it more than just hot words to be said, but an earnest of our heart to let Satan know that what You already know, that we do love You. Please help us in these last days to live for You. Help someone today to be encouraged rather than be discouraged during this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.